Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kansas City wants to go up two scores.
Here's the toss. It's Hardman. And Hardman is stopped just short. Hey, the ball went through the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
They may rule him down. The Bills are saying that ball was fumbled to the back of the end zone.
Oh, my goodness.
It ultimately was. Remember that review? I was standing right there at the goal line. It was right in front of me during that Bills-Chiefs divisional round playoff game. And the ensuing debate always about that particular rule and whether it should be changed or not. That's been discussed, but it's not on the actual docket as far as I see. Take a look. I don't think it is. For the playing rules proposals coming up here at the NFL owners meetings, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We're going to be joined right now by Ben Ostro. Ben is from Football Zebras. We're going to get a little help from Ben to break down some of these rules, what they mean, and what might happen here. Ben, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to join you.
All right. Well, let's start with that one. There was some momentum. There has been over the years to kind of change that rule, the touchback rule, if you want to call it that, fumbling. But it seems like the general consensus from the competition committee was, no, wait a minute, you're responsible for holding onto the ball, and it should be punitive, and that's why they're really not going to do anything. Is that the sense you get in that this is really not something that they're going to be looking at to change for a while?
Yeah, they do look at it year after year, and it just never makes it out of committee. I just haven't heard any serious conversation from them. There's always been buzz around other teams proposing it. And if the competition committee doesn't pick up a team's proposal, they can bring that to the owners themselves. But it just hasn't been that much momentum. It's something that's been baked into the game since, you know, before the NFL was the NFL. And, you know, basically it is bring the ball to your opponent's end zone, get in the across that goal line with possession. And so the defense has done its job in preventing you from doing that. So yes, you have to maintain control around the end zone. That's a special area, so it's not like when you fumble out of bounds in the field.
All right, let's talk about the ones that are on the proposals that are going to be happening once we get to the league meetings next week in Orlando. The two big areas this year, it seems like there's a concentration, Ben, are kickoffs, which have been discussed a lot, and the hip drop tackle. We'll save the hip drop tackle for a minute. Can you, in your best words possible, explain to our listeners exactly what the rules proposal is for the kickoffs? And I'm talking about the number 10, this is rule 6, and I see it was proposed by the committee itself.
Yes, it came from the competition committee, and Troy Vincent, the executive vice president of football operations, he's been pushing that this is going to happen this year. So maybe he knows what kind of votes he's going to get, but basically, if you saw any of the XFL where the kicker stays back at the normal line, but then the remainder of the kicking team is downfield and essentially kicks over the heads of the remainder of the kicking team. They also have to remain in place until the ball reaches inside the 20 on the fly or, or is caught there. And then at that point, once it's touched or caught, then you can, the kicking team can move. So it's kind of like a weird situation where there's essentially the ball is in motion, but players must stay still until that reaches what they call the landing zone inside the 20. And if it doesn't make the landing zone, then they treat it the same as a kickoff out of bounds. That's the best that I can do. There's a lot of little parts mm-hmm. to it. You can't call a fair catch. And basically what they're trying to do is encourage returns. Because if the ball does make it to the end zone on the fly, then it's essentially a 15-yard penalty for a touchback. It's not written that way. It says the touchback goes to the 35-yard line. If it rolls into the end zone, then it's still the 20. So there's just so many moving parts to this. So I'd first like to see it. I don't think something like this passes immediately. I think at the very least, the owners are going to take a look at this and say, hey, let's take some time to look this over. And they may push that off until their May meeting. I would be surprised if they take any action. But then again, I don't make predictions because I get a lot of them wrong.
Yeah. And this would obviously have to come and would come with a massive change to the onside kick rule. And would they announce it? Do you think they would implement the fourth down thing? Like, how do you see those two things?
So after a score, then they run the play clock. So you have essentially 40 seconds to make a determination that you're going to do your onside kick. And then once the kicker gets the ball and they roll the play clock for the kickoff play, now you're locked in to whatever kickoff format you do. And my best understanding of it, I'm still going through all the different variables with it, but it essentially puts the kickoff back to where it was originally, and then you just would have a standard onside kick at that point. But we know that onside kicks with the formation rules have just plummeted in their success rate, so that's even something that that has been chewed over for years, whether or not you allow a scrimmage alternative, whether or not you do a 4th and 20 or 4th and 15. And, the Eagles actually threw out that proposal. So you might see a little bit of both in this situation.
I've been to the owners' meetings the last several years, and I've kind of seen this play out. It's always been fascinating to me with this rule. You just mentioned it. It's Philadelphia amending Rule 6, Section 1, Article 1, which is they are proposing to add a 4th and 20 instead of in lieu of an onside kick. And it feels to me, Ben, like there's been more and more momentum over the years for something like this. How about you?
I think that they're trying to settle on what is the best combination of distance to gain and what yard line you start from, and basically trying to emulate where the ball would typically end up on an onside kick, and also making it as challenging as it is to convert an onside kick. So they're trying to find those variables. So it's like 4th and 15, 4th and 20. Now the one that they have is 4th and 20 from the 20-yard line. So if you say that, okay, well, if we kick from the 35, it's probably going to end up at about the 45. But in this case, so they're looking at you have to reach, the 40-yard line. So there's been different proposals there, and I think that's why each year they've tabled it. Because it's just not enough to go on. They've tried it out in some of the Pro Bowl games when they had a Pro Bowl. But there just hasn't been very much of a laboratory to try some of these things out. And I think that's why it keeps getting pushed off year after year.
All right, let's talk about the hip drop. This is the competition committee themselves is coming out from the committee to amend the tackling technique, or to eliminate, I should say, the tackling technique, the hip drop. And we've seen this happen. We've seen injuries. And of course, now you're getting a lot of pushback from players. The NFLPA even made a statement on this. I'm sure you've seen it, Ben, where they are encouraging this not to pass because it's making it harder for defenders to tackle. But those, the NFLPA also represents the people who are getting tackled, which I find fascinating. So how do you sort through all of this?
So they've been opposed to it. This is not anything new. They've registered their disdain for this last year even. And I think that it boils down to how do you define it? And even after this came up, I was going through a few plays and I was looking at some, they were injuries, and I'm like trying to figure out, well, where is the signature that makes this the hip drop tackle? What makes this any different than a standard tackle, or that this is what a defender has in his toolbox as his ability to get that runner down based on the angle that he's approaching? There are other things like a horse collar or a block in the back where the defender has already been, or blocker has already been beaten. So any kind of contact there is just desperation, where you didn't get there in time, and pulling on the horse collar that causes knee injuries. So they said, he's already passed you, so don't just grab by the collar. You've lost that opportunity. In this case, there's not like one of those components where a player is beaten. These things can happen inadvertently. And that's the thing, is trying to separate something out that is catastrophic, which is essentially that in a nutshell, is that ankles are getting all buckled up and the ligaments in the lower leg are getting stretched to their limits because there's body weight that's landing on this lower leg. And the way that they wrote the rule, I think that there's a lot that would get in there that is not what they want to keep out, and I think that it excludes things that they want to include. So I don't know if it really covers all the bases. The question is whether or not the NFLPA, which will have representation at the owners' meeting, whether or not their voice is going to be loud enough to overcome the Competition Committee and the Health and Safety Committee, which are saying we got to do something. And once they do something, they don't roll back any of these player safety rules. Once they're in, they're in. They don't put them in for one-year trials and things like that. They put them in, and then, it is nearly impossible to take it out. So I think that the Players Association says, look, it's going to bring traditional tackling out of the game. And then you add also techniques like leverage tackling, which are used to avoid landing on the quarterback. Those techniques have become part of the game, and now they could inadvertently become hip drops.
Yeah. Is part of the story on the hip drop also, and part of the equation, how difficult it would be to officiate?
Well, that's also a very important point. How do you write these things in a way that it's going to capture this so that it not only is it going to be able to be spotted, but it's also, that you're going to see that, but that it's going to be caught by officials with the limited angles that they have, based on the positions that they are on the field. And there are some of these things we see it on TV because we have a better top down angle. And, we think we see it on the live play, and then sometimes we replay it, and it's there's elements missing, or it's just, something that's completely inadvertent. I really don't see a way that they can put this in so that it's first of all, a technique that can be coached, because any of these player safety things, they want to be able to say, okay, so what do we tell the players? And then on the flip side, what do you tell the officials? How do you ask them to officiate this? And it just seems like it's an impossible task.
We also have a rule that's to eliminate the first touch spot after the receiving team possesses the ball. Now, I'll ask you if this is correct. The way I understand it is if the punt team punts the ball and the one member of the punt team touches it, the receiving team can still pick it up. And anything happens after that doesn't matter, right? You can go in for a touchdown. It's good. You fumble it. It doesn't matter because the first touch is what you could always go back to. Are they just want to eliminate that and say, you know what? You first touch it. If you're the punt team, it doesn't matter. If the receiving team then grabs possession and fumbles, that's still going to count.
That's exactly it. And it's been long understood that the kicking team, I mean, in the technicals, if you go way back, they used to consider that a penalty. It was a zero-yard penalty that the kicking team touched the ball. Then they kind of said, well, this is kind of ridiculous. We'll just say, okay, that's the spot. So that's where how this rule has evolved, how the first touch spot has been available. It still comes down to the fact that it's the receiver's ball because the kicking team has surrendered possession. So to give them a little bit of an out to say, hey, you know, you might be able to get some benefit out of this, just seems to go against the whole theory of surrendering possession. And yeah, there is always that fallback, and you know, unless there's like a fumble and then a penalty after that, you know, in most of the situations, yeah, they're going to get back to that first touch spot and be able to, you know, to at least go there. Or if they commit a penalty, that first touch spot goes, then at least they get the spot of the penalty. But it's one of these things that, you know, if they've already touched it, they've already put it in a position that is already disadvantageous to the receiving team. So why put an extra handicap on them?
One thing we don't have this year, Ben and Joe, no overtime rules proposals as far as what I...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I've seen. We went there a long time with a lot of overtime rules proposals. We don't have that. But we do, Ben, have, traditionally we do this, something with replay and something with challenges. So we have one from Detroit. Protect a club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge. And we also have one that basically allows coaches to challenge inside 2 minutes. And this Detroit one, I agree. I don't understand. Why should a coach be penalized if you win the challenge, you still kind of lose it? It never made sense to me.
Well, yeah, and that's something that has been it really goes back to the beginning of replay, in that period of time between when they had the replay booth have complete jurisdiction, and in 1999 when they brought the challenge system on, they were just really adamant that, like, how many times are we going to change something in a game? And they really wanted it limited at two, and coaches are like, you know, but if we're right, you know, give us a little bit extra. And that's always been part of the equation, is that you're going to use a challenge because you think you're going to prevail, not because, well, we'll just see what happens. And then I still have one in my pocket, and then maybe I'll get another one if this third challenge proposal goes through. It just kind of goes against that initial thinking that they really want to keep as much of these out of the game. Then they they started taking things out of the coach's hands, say, well, we'll take over turnovers, we'll do touchdowns, we'll handle everything inside 2 minutes. And so now it just, it's rare that a coach does get to a third challenge. And usually if they do, it's because they've had like some of these small wins that really were kind of delays again. They're not like real big major overturns. So the idea of adding the third challenge, that's been floated a few times, and either it's failed or it's been withdrawn. Let me go to the other one, which you don't exactly have it right, which is it really just comes back to having replay give the ability to review any penalty flag that's
on the field. Thank you.
They worded it kind of weird. So they said coach or replay official inside 2 minutes. So it's still replay official inside 2 minutes, but they want to be able to say if there's a flag on the field, a yellow flag, we want to put a red flag down there and say, are you sure? And the reason why that's probably not going to pass is we're going to go back to that year that we had all of the pass interference rules under the replay microscope. It just didn't fit. You don't re-officiate a play in replay. You try to confirm that the or make sure that there was no error made on the field. If you don't see anything, then you let it stand. It's not that, well, if I had been on there, I would have called it this way. It's not a substitute in judgment. That was part of the original replay from the 80s. Now they're saying, okay, here's your call. Now I'm going to see if there's anything to overturn it. And if there isn't anything, then we'll just leave it. And that's why a lot of the pass interference calls that we thought would be overturned, they wound up standing because there wasn't enough to say, okay, yeah, this is absolutely something where we have to overturn. There's just too much judgment in there. And that's what you wind up with. Other than things that affect lines on the field and number of players, there's not really very much that is reviewable that would fit into that box. Yeah, you're going to have like that roughing the passer that, you know, it's like, oh, it's so obvious. But that's going to be the outlier, and it's not going to be the one that's going to drive a rule change. So it might have enough momentum behind it, but things like that have failed in the past.
Interesting. All right, before we let you go, one last one. I didn't realize this until I just read it. There is a rules proposal to allow for replay if there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before the snap. But this is not the play clock, right? This is the game clock. That's where I'm wondering, because how many times have we watched, Ben, where, oh my God, it's at zeros and they still snap the ball, right? This is not the play clock, but they have to do something about that. Can you kind of walk us through what that situation is with the play clock at zero in the stands and the TV? This is the game clock expiring, though.
Yeah, this is only for the expiration of the period to make sure you get the snap off in time. And I think that has a good chance of passing. But they have left the play clock alone because it doesn't operate like a shot clock. It's more of it starts when the ball is freed from the previous play. You know, when the ball is in the official's hands, you know, then it's arbitrarily started by the play clock operator. So there is a little bit of wiggle room in what exactly the 40 seconds constitutes there. And basically, that it goes back to the days when the play clock was on the official's wrist, which is, you know, we'll give you a signal and just, you know, I'll give you a 5-second signal and count you down. And as long as you're close enough, we'll give it to you. And in this situation, and we do explain it every time when it does come up, it's the back judge that makes the call, which is to see zero on the clock and then train your eyes on the ball. If the snap is underway, then it's on time. And even at that, it's going to take you a moment to see, oh, is that ball moving? Or, you know, is it just starting to move and it's not moving that much? And then keep in mind the back judge is 30 yards downfield. That's the mechanic that they've put in place. They've looked at different things, whether or not you put sound into the official's earpiece. And it just comes back to the fact that they don't want to officiate it that tight. If you do that, there's more delay of game penalties in the game. And I think that the motion is more towards, hey, let's have more snaps and less flags.
Ben, great stuff. Thank you so much. We went pretty long with you today, so we appreciate a lot of time because there's a lot of stuff here to digest at the league meetings on Sunday. And people can go to the website, footballzebras.com. Also follow you guys on Twitter, @footballzebras. A lot of good stuff there. And if anybody has any questions about that, I'm sure you're there to break it all down. So thank you so much today.
Thank you very much. And we miss you, Murph, and we can't wait to see you come back.
Yeah, thank you. No doubt about it. And we do see Murph at the games in the radio booth sometimes, and we'll make sure we pass that along. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, you got it. That is Ben Ostro of Football Zebras. Good stuff there. We'll take a timeout.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Pat Hammer, the Hammer, is going to join us to talk about the weather. What is up with this? We'll get answers from our guy, Patrick Hammer, next up on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal and Joe with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
We will hear from our guy, Patrick Hammer, in just a moment. He is wrapping a few things up at WGRZ TV2. He'll give us a call and we'll get Pat on the horn here to talk about the weather. Maybe he's a little afraid, Joe. He doesn't want to. You know, the weather. He's a meteorologist, and we're having some not good weather here. So he's not the most popular person in town right now.
It is. Yeah. What? Did someone jinx it? Because I know I declared. It could be me. I declared winter over.
Did you
over.
Declare winter over?
Probably multiple times. And I'm looking outside, and I see snow on the ground right now. Not good.
There are close to 300 people now have entered my bracket contest. I love this, Joe. It's great. I got
300.
You got 25 minutes here. I mean, the games don't tip off until 12:15, but you got to get them locked in. I got a lot of people who haven't even filled them out, but if you want, just doing something fun for listeners, for us to follow along. I'll keep track of it on the air, and it's totally free. Register, get in at cbssports.com. The top two places, I'm going to give a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. My buddy Del Reed at 26 Shirts going to throw in a shirt for the winner. But, we're just doing something just for fun, for people to have some fun to follow along with the tournament. And if you want to do that, you can check out my X feed, Twitter. You can go to Sal Sports and you can click on the link and you can play along with us. And we'll keep you updated. In the meantime, Joe and Josh and me, we went through NCAA Survivor. Mm-hmm. We eliminated one team, each of us, when going around, until we got to the last team playing today. And the team we're going to root for is Tennessee, the Tennessee Volunteers. I thought about actually eliminating Tennessee early on because I'm like, the Volunteers, not the most sexy name. But, I mean, I do like their colors. They're orange. I root for orange. So we're good. We're good with Tennessee today. They take on St. Peter's. So we'll root for them tonight. By the way, as you said, Joe, they are also taking them on at the same time that the Sabres are playing against the Edmonton Oilers. Sabres have a big game against Edmonton tonight.
Yep.
Do we know yet who's in goal? Have we seen this yet from Paul or anybody else? Is it going to be UPL? Because there's back-to-back coming up here.
Yeah. Granato even joked around with us a little bit this morning that it's going to be Luukkonen. I'd be stunned otherwise. They don't play again until Sunday, I think, right? They play.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no, their next back-to-back.
Oh, it's not back-to-back. My fault.
When they're back at home. Yeah, they play tonight and then Sunday and then Wednesday. Okay. So I would, the next back-to-back is next Friday and Saturday. I bet you would see Levi then. Could. Luukkonen's going to be in goal tonight. I'd be sure.
All right, let's get to the Western Hotline right now where our guy Patrick Hammer is standing by, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Pat, I said maybe you just didn't want to come on with us because the meteorologist is not the most popular person in town when the weather turns like this.
I just went and spoke at a school this morning, and they literally ran me out of the classroom.
They threw snowballs at you.
I did. It was the Frank Sedeta School, and I walk into the auditorium, and it was booze and paper balls thrown at me, and I had to be escorted out. I'm just kidding.
I don't think that was the case. I'm sure the students and the staff treated you very nicely, but they probably asked you the same question that I'm about to ask you, which is, what the hell is going on with this weather?
Okay, first of all, I like to refer to this segment as our spring break segment. We have one every year, Sal. In fact, two years ago, I spoke to you from the customs department at the airport in Baja, California, Cabo San Lucas. I'll never forget it. So it's fun to have these kind of mid-season updates and to talk about the mercurial weather going on here. I got to tell you, despite how cold it is, if March were to end today, this would go down as the third warmest March on record. And you're like, what? It's snowing. It's cold. You got to remember how the month started. We had 2 days in the 70s, a couple of days in the 60s, most days in the 50s. You know, we did reports on golf courses opening, you know, all of that. St. Patrick's Day hit. And then, yeah, we've kind of taken a plunge ever since. And it's cold. And it's tonight, it's going to be, I mean, today it's going to feel like January. Tomorrow, it's going to snow like January, especially later in the day and tomorrow night. And yeah, it's going to be like, what the heck? Where was this, in the wintertime? It decided to show
Wasn't
up.
Wasn't it 72 back on March 4th?
We had 2 days in a row of 72. 2 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, it was like, you know, and this is coming off what was, a believe it or not, a really mild winter. You know, we had 1 week of crazy in January when the Bills had to move their game from Sunday to Monday. You had all of that. You had that, you know, crazy one. It was like 1 week of winter this season. And then as we climb out into spring, winter's like, I'm back, and it has one last little hurrah, which is what's going to happen over the next 48 hours.
What exactly is going to happen over the next 48 hours, Patrick?
Here's what we got. Okay, so today cold, 20s all day. It's pretty cold for late March, I will admit. Then tonight we're down into the teens, clear skies. Tomorrow it's fine during the day, but in the afternoon snow develops. And by tomorrow night, it's snowing, and it's snowing pretty good in Buffalo to Amherst, Williamsville, Clarence. However, to the south, places like, from about, I would say, Hamburg to East Aurora to Eden and points south, there might be a mix to rain. And that rain-snow line is going to be very tricky to call because that really affects snowfall totals. So the southern half of our area is going to mix to rain, but I think Buffalo and the north towns stay snow tomorrow night into Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, if you live, again, Buffalo north, we've got 2 to 4 inches of snow on the ground. But to the south, it'll be less because it'll mix with some rain. Saturday afternoon, it dries out. Sunday, beautiful, but 30s for highs. When does it warm up? It warms up next week. We're into the 50s, but I'm a little cautious about a long range because Easter, which is coming up a week from Sunday, there might be something brewing for that weekend as well.
Yeah, I almost feel like the way this month is going, Pat, it's going to end up being like the weirdest March on record. Like how many days spent around the average temperature? I feel like on one hand, maybe I'll be able to count that.
Such a good point, Joe. We're going to be 10 degrees either side of normal, it seems like, throughout the month. And days that were actually close to what a typical March day would be are few and far between. That's a very good point. And, you know, springs can do that. I mean, you know, the record high today is 82, which if anybody remembers, that was the spring of 2012 when it was crazy warm. The St. Patrick's
Mario spring, Williams.
70.
That's the Mario Williams spring. Yes. That's how we remember it around here.
Yes.
Right. So, but the record low is like below zero. So you can get a real big range in March. And we've certainly seen that this season.
Is this, follow up on that, is this the month with the largest range of records?
God,
you are like, your crack research team is on point today. Absolutely. March has the biggest swings, the biggest range from the highest high to the lowest low. Absolutely. Starting kind of late February into the month of March. March is just, March can be a crapshoot, you know? That's been the case this March for sure.
Okay, so we don't have much time, so I got a few questions for you. We can go quickly here. Yes. Number one, didn't you tell us one time that there's always been, always in Buffalo, snow in April in some capacity? Didn't you tell us once that once?
It's a great talking point that I carry with me in April is to remind people.
Okay, now, okay. Well, we have the eclipse coming up on April 8th. Do you have any idea right now what we might be looking at around that time?
I want people to get fired up and excited about this eclipse. It is going to be amazing. I know people are somebody like, what's the thing? When it happens, I don't care who you are or what you are going to have an emotional response to the eclipse. Now, a lot of people want to know, what's the sky going to be? Is it going to be clear, partly cloudy? Hard to tell. This far out, it's still hard to tell. Climatologically, meaning typically in early April, you're kind of, the chances of clouds are pretty high. The thing, though, is the closer to the lake you are, the better chance of getting some clearing, okay? So that's one thing to think about. We're noticing, though, that the trend for early April is a drier trend, which would be a good sign. But it's still too hard to tell about clouds. We've got to wait until we're about a week out to get an idea. But the most difficult forecast to make in this area, I got to be honest with you, isn't snow or wind, it's cloud cover. Because it's so tricky with the lake and the hills and everything else.
I am headed to Orlando for the NFL owners meeting Sunday through Wednesday. I'm guessing it's going to be typical Orlando weather. You can tell me. Yeah, and then heading to Brisbane, Australia for 12 days with my family. Give me about 30 seconds on what to expect.
Okay, here's what we got. Orlando, fine. Looks dry. Did you know that Brisbane in Australia is at the same latitude away from the equator as Tampa, Florida? Okay.
No.
So that gives you kind of a perspective of the distance you are south versus Tampa is north. They're about the same. Does that make sense? So you are as far south from the equator in Brisbane as Tampa is north from the equator. Okay.
Okay.
I've been analyzing some Australian weather today. Didn't have anything better to do. So I thought let's take a deep dive. It has been a cool fall season there so far. It is the fall there. It's about, 1:30 in the morning. Right now, on average, temperatures there, 70s to 80s. So it's still nice. But remember, you're borderline tropics. So, I mean, not tropical weather, but, you know, you're pretty close to the equator. So 70s and 80s in the fall is pretty comfortable. And that's how it's looking as we head into April. Kind of tough to predict rain. It doesn't rain there a lot, but temperatures look pretty comfy at this point.
There's rain in my app, like every time I look, but it looks like maybe like a Florida deal where it just, every once in a while it rains.
I saw that. It's in a couple of days. There's like a 4-day stretch of rain. That's not very typical. I think there's a little spin up of low pressure close by. That's what's causing that. I wouldn't worry about that. I saw that too.
Buddy, we love you. Thanks for coming on today. I wish we could stay a little bit longer, but we'll catch up again down the road.
Have a good trip. So,
you got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Pat Hamer right there. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up very quickly here on the Extra Point Show. All right, Joe, here we go, buddy. Our show ends right at the right time, you know?
Oh, perfect time. 20 minutes.
I mean, getting home and watching it. And you got it. You got one game at 12:15. That's going to carry you over for a half hour. Just a short of that. That is Michigan State against Mississippi State. A good game, an 8-9 game. And then it's Duquesne against BYU at 12:40. The first two games are kind of standalone until 1:30 when things really get going. Akron Creighton at 1:30. Long Beach State Arizona at 2. Wagner North Carolina at 2:45. Morehead State Illinois at 3:10. And you're rounding out with Oregon, South Carolina, Nevada, Dayton in the 4 o'clock hour. And then we get to the night games. And then we're always going into tonight. The final tip-off tonight, Drake against Washington State at 10:05. And Joe, as you said, that's while the Sabres are on. You got a great night ahead of you tonight to watch sports.
All right, let's get a win and everything right in our bracket. Someone's going to get the perfect bracket this year. I know it.
That would be pretty amazing. Hey, thanks for sticking with us today. We had a really good show. We really appreciate Ben Ostro from Football Zebras for joining us. He broke down all of the rules changes and proposals, I should say, coming to the NFL. And then, of course, Patrick Hammer. Have a great Tuesday and Thursday. Sorry. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy the NCAA tournament.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.